Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Oh, baby. What a night last night at Chase Center as the Warriors survive against the Mavericks 120-117 on Clay Day. And shout out to Raymond Ritter and that entire organization. We have Brady Snyder on the pregame show, Shasky. People who came up with the idea with the Captain Clay hats, the Warriors hit it out of the park 100%. The employees, over 400 employees, greeting Clay Thompson, and he's made his highly anticipated return to the Bay Area, and he didn't disappoint. He scored 22, hit a season high, six threes, and they were in that game, and Klay Thompson almost had the last laugh. But there's a guy named Stephen Curry who wears number 30 for the Golden State Warriors, and at the age of 36, he continues to do things that defy logic. As a 36-year-old, he joins LeBron James and Michael Jeffrey Jordan Chasky as the only 36-year-olds to score 36 points in consecutive basketball games, 36 or more. Michael Jeffrey Jordan, LeBron James, and Stephen Curry are in that category. He scores 37 yesterday, 9 assists, 6 rebounds. As you say, good morning to everybody out there. Get off the graveyard shift. I'm hyped up. Hopefully you're hyped up. We're going to get back to the call, Shasky. 888-957-9570 is a number here on the Warriors Wednesday. Brought to you by Freeman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live working vignettes. Visit Freeman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today.
The reason why I love sports, obviously you're watching athleticism at its highest, right? But there's more to just being a great athlete. There are certain guys who what I call are must-watch showstoppers. And when I think of Steph Curry, he shares a lot of the qualities. And you're going to laugh, but I'm telling you, there are certain people that pop off the television and for whatever reason connect with the audience in a way because of their style of play, their size, all these different things, their passion, their grit. Last night reminded me, I'm dead serious on this, Steph reminded me of the showstopper Shawn Michaels. Serious. Like when Shawn Michaels would come out to the ring and he would flex the biceps and all of the pyrotechnics would go off crazy. That was Steph's moment. That was like a ladder match last night. That was WWE-esque. That was fantastic. And the way he celebrated, it was like he threw the championship belt over his shoulder and like, to the entire crowd at the top of the turnbuckle. That was as close to a WWE ladder match as I could think of.
So
the showstopper, Steph Curry.
This is amazing.
I know. Some can
this
do it.
This is amazing. it's amazing.
Great work, Benoni.
I could be in a conversation with Joe Shasky, and his mind will go to WWE wrestling. Hey, Spadoni, pull up Shawn Michaels. And it's unbelievable. Nah, get together. You know what I want. We're going to go wrestling. No, Harlem Heat, no. Even though I like Booker T, I love them. You know what I like.
Booker T.
You know what I like. I'm a gold medal winner like Steph Curry and Kurt Angle. That's what I like. But it is amazing how I can be looking directly at Shasky having a conversation. Tell us what Tony pulled Shawn Michaels.
Bro,
Shawn Michaels.
The way he looked into the camera.
You know what I got?
WWE.
You know what that was? No, it was Kendrick Lamar, They Not Like Us.
Okay.
That's what that was. They not like us.
I think it's a little played out, but I get it.
No, they not like us. They not like us. They not like us. The Mavericks would never be like us. The NBA would never be like us in what we've done over the last decade. But I'm just spitballing here.
What did you make, like, when you saw Steph do that to the crowd, to the camera? I mean, that was as emphatic of a scream that I can remember. I'm not going to pretend to be lip reading. What did you initially thought? Because I initially thought, and I'll let you think about it for a second.
No, I know what I thought. I don't need to think about it. I'll tell you what I thought right
personal.
Now. It was personal. It was deep. It was deep. Now, there's not hate for anybody.
Yeah.
It's, hey, you chose to leave us, and now you're shimmying on my home floor? Now you're wearing a Mavericks jersey using my shimmy?
People were ticked on the shimmy.
So, when Curry hit his first three over Clay, he pointed straight at him. I see you. When he hit the and one at the end of the first half, when he had the three-point play over Clay Thompson, and he looked directly at Clay, and he was hunched over saying, I see you, Clay. I see you. I'm guarding you, too. Because that was in the game plan, which we discussed yesterday. Wow, Steph is really going to guard Klay Thompson. Klay's really going to guard Draymond Green. Wow. We're really going to get that in the first game back? Okay, cool. But Steph let everybody know. Not only that, this is the house that I built. This is my stuff. I'm the head honcho here in this organization. I'm the franchise player. And no, by the way, you see this Golden State Warriors jersey? We're all the way back. We ain't dead yet.
I mean,
we ain't dead yet.
On a floor with Luka, who many think could be the face of the league for 10 years, with Kyrie, and we all know how great Kyrie is,
mm-hmm.
Klay Thompson, his former splash buddy, splash brother, and then obviously Draymond Green, who's one of the great villains in the NBA in the last decade. I mean, Steph rose above all of them and had just moment after moment at the end of that game. I don't know, B. I think this one's going to resonate for a long time in the NBA, within the Warrior culture. I think we're going to be thinking about this fourth quarter and that moment, that game, celebration of Clay for a long time.
Well, we'll think about that for a long time. We'll always remember Clay Day, and it did not disappoint. Clay Day did not disappoint. The tribute before the game with everybody standing up on their feet after who sung the national anthem last night? What was the young lady's name? Man, she blew the roof off the building, man.
Gotta Google it.
Spinotti, Google it. Who sung the national anthem last night? Because she was, oh my gosh. I was like, wow. Feels like a Super Bowl. And then Klay Thompson.
Every time you do the wow, I think of Adrian Peterson. Keep going.
Well, I did. And then
when
the video
I seen her
comes,
sing that national anthem.
No, but I said, damn. Wow, here we go. And then you get the video tribute. And you get Klay Thompson acknowledging the video tribute and telling everybody Dub Nation that's a standing ovation with the captain. You see a sea of captain hats. A sea of captain hats tipping their captain, Klay Thompson. And then you get the tip off. And it was on the popping on the first possession. I said, okay, yeah, we're locked in. This is going to be one of them ones. And it was one of them ones. It was one of those games. And more importantly, the Warriors win and improved at 9-2. So they're off to a great start. They're in a great position to do whatever the hell they want when it comes to activity on the trade market if they want to go that route. Or you could ride this team out and go 11-12 deep and hit these teams in waves in a regular season where you're trapping and doubling, you're playing guys, you're hockey subbing, you're doing whatever you got to do here. There's a lot going on with this Warriors team, but there's a lot of positive stuff going on with this Warriors team. And as Coach said, you can't forget about Kuminga. You can't forget about Buddy Love, Buddy Hill. And you're all led by Steph and Dre. It's unbelievable right now.
I'm looking at, like, you can compare and contrasting last year to this year, and why does it feel so different? And then there's so many things. Like, it looks clearly different, and the camaraderie and the chemistry. But Bonte, they didn't beat a good team for a long time. They just didn't. And it feels like in 1 week, they've won more big games against real contenders than at any point last year combined. And so the belief is at an all-time high currently. Yeah. Now, I know it can always go a little higher because we're Warrior fans, but this team is real.
But again, a team like this, where there's no egos and they're playing team basketball, this is the type of team that Warrior fans will love. And I kind of got the sense early on that Dub Nation and Chase Center will love this team. And as they continue to stack wins, as they continue to go on runs, and they win close games in the fourth quarter, that crowd is ready to pop. That crowd is ready to explode because I'm not going front. A lot of people get tired of hearing about Chase Center being quiet. We even Kenny Caraway to Ditto office. Oh, it's not Oracle Arena. Oh, Chase is not the same as Oracle, blah, 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 blah. Well, I thought Chase Center held up in 2022 during the playoff run. And when you give them a reason to cheer, they would cheer loud and proud. And yesterday, they were on their feet in that fourth quarter. It was deafening in that place.
I was proud to be a Warrior fan, seeing how Warrior fans, just the class from the organization like carried over. And I knew it would, but it was even more so than I had ever imagined. Seeing the fans, as classy as they were, give an all-time legend in Klay Thompson his just due.
Yep.
That's why we love living in this community. Because that is what we are as a community. And to see us embody that was really special. It really was, man. The images of all the people donning the caps and saluting him and then seeing it clearly get to him, that's as good of a return as I can think of in any sport. I can't think of any other way to respect someone that way.
Let's go to Joshua 580. Joshua 580. We're going to get everybody on here before we get to Anthony Slater at 8:30, who was at the game as well. Joshua 580, what's happening?
What's going on, fellas? Man, that game yesterday, it was emotional, I think, for everybody. Like, when I watched the Klay tribute, I almost wanted to shed a tear. You know, I'm 30 years old, so... You know, the Warriors were on their run right when I hit my 20s, and just watching every single game, like, Klay's given us so many moments. So it was emotional for me, as I'm supposed to. It was emotional for everybody on that court. But I think it was, like, for Steph, it's like, I got three brothers. I got two little brothers. And, like, you can't let your little brother beat you. You just can't. You know what I'm saying? You can't let him walk away with your little brother beating you and hold that over you and gloating. You just can't. You could just see Steph was like, no, you're my little brother, bro. You know, I have to let you know you're my little brother. And I got to show you, and I got to put you on notice tonight. And you're going to have to, you know, eat this L. I love you, but you're little bro. Same thing he did with the Kings. Like, no, y'all little bro. Y'all coming, but you're still little bro. And Steph is still him, and he's just such a joy to watch, man. And, you know, the second piece outside of that game is right after the game, you know, Charles Barkley gets on Inside the NBA and talks about the Warriors can't keep doing this. They can't keep going 10 guys deep, 11 guys deep. And I'm just like, why not? You know, they're not playing the same 10 guys every night. Kyle Anderson didn't play today. But Jimsy got a little minutes, right? It's a different 9 to 10 guys every night. Not the same 9 to 10 guys every night. I don't see why they can't keep doing what they're doing, how they're doing it, when guys are producing. And here's the key.
Good call, Josh. You were breaking up a little there. When is Barkley going to learn to not doubt to go to State Warriors?
Well, Barkley's doing it for TV.
Yeah,
I'm not
he's doing it for the shtick.
I mean,
like, no, he's doing it for the shtick.
I mean, you know, he's committed to the bit.
But a lot of people in the NBA circle said, damn, what's going on to go to State? Maybe there is a problem. Maybe they are back. We'll see. Let's go to Tony in Oakland. He's got some vibes. It's got 2022 vibes,
is
Tony.
Is it that Tony in Oakland?
No, it's Tony. It's a different Tony in Oakland. It's a Tony with a Y, not an I.
He ruined your zone.
No, it's not that one. She'll be calling. She's in the zone right now, but Tony, it's a different Tony.
We don't need to hear from that
Tony. In Oakland, no. We could hear from her all day long. Tony, what's happening?
What's up, man? First, let me just say that was a great game. The tribute was awesome. Like I said, I called a few weeks ago, and I said they're giving me 2022 vibes. Because you can wipe off that Cleveland loss. Because in 2022, we lost to some good teams. We lost to Brooklyn. We lost to Boston, but we always show resilience throughout the rest of the season. And so it was a hell of a game, man. And I just want to real quick speak on the end of the game. I don't think the game would have resonated as well if Klay hadn't hit some of those big shots to Dallas. If it was Luka, if it was Kyrie, we kind of been like, oh, we expect that. But it was Klay who took those big shots, made those big shots, and then Steph that came back and said, hey, remember, I make big shots, too. So it gave us a whole different kind of energy going through that last three minutes and 16 seconds of that game.
Good call, Tony. Let's go to people breaking up here. We got to fix our phone lines out there. Let's go to Verducci in the El Dorado Hills. He's always got crystal clear cell phone service. What's up, Verducci?
What's up, baby? Oh, baby, what a night it was, man. It was pulsating last night in the EDH, man. And, you know, I told my wife we were at Chick-fil-A. I was rushing her through Chick-fil-A, said, I got to get home. I got to watch this. And to see my buddy, Franco Finn, do the intro of Klay, you're seeing all the Captain Klay hats, and you're seeing the emotion from Klay. I mean, it sent chills down my spine. And then they're going at it after the first possession. And then Curry hits it, points at Klay in the back and forth. And I want to give it up for Green, man. That guy kept He kept himself accountable. He kept himself in shape. And he said, you know, I messed up last year. You know, I'm going to come back and show you that I am the defensive player of the year. I don't want to hear anything about Gobert. That is how you play defense. He just showed us all why he is who he is and why he is that man. And you know what? The thing is I love about Jerry Stackhouse, no one talks about Jerry. But you know what? That man keeps this team accountable on the defensive end, and you're seeing it. They are coming in waves to where they exhaust you by the fourth quarter. And finally, when Curry got to the camera, man, he got me up out of my seat. I mean, I was hearing Rocky music in the background when he's doing the training montage. I was ready to sit there. I was throwing blows up in the air, baby. And he just said, you know, the song that resonated with me was, I'm different. That's the song that came. He said, I'm different. You can doubt me. You can doubt this team. But we're going to continue to rise, baby, because that's what we do in the Bay. And so, anyways, Fonte, great job last night, too. I love you all. It's coming, baby. It's giving me 2022 vibes, 2014 and 15 vibes. Let's go, Dub Nation. Let's go.
He's got the bug. He's got the bug. Verducci's got the bug. Here's what Steph Curry said about the first play of the game.
Like I said, I wasn't expecting the first play where they put Clay on the block. I literally blacked out. I thought I was in training camp again where I was trying to get a stop. Draymond was actually calling me off for, like, we call it a bump where you don't want me guarding the post-up guy, and I go to the weak side. And I heard him, but I didn't hear him at the same time, and it was a dumb foul. It was a weird way to start the game,
and all of a sudden Clay draws foul number one, Shasky. But these people are starting to get 2022 vibes, man. 22, and you look at the schedule. Let's see where they're at in the next five games. They're 13-3. Huh, okay. Then you play Phoenix and Denver. Maybe you split that road trip. Then you come back home, and you got some big boys coming back. Let's just see it. I got to get to December, man. I'm trying not to shoot my wad here in November, but I'm feeling really good about this team, man. Feel really good about it. 50 wins, Bonte. Book it. Unnamed player. 50. We win at 50, though. All right. I'm there. I'm with you.
Yours would hit a little harder had you not believed in the team last year, you know? But that being said, I believe that they're going to go on a nice little run here.
What did you say? Me believing in the team last year?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, it's worth saying out loud, Shasky and I, that we both believe this team could make a deep run in the playoffs.
Absolutely. When was that?
After the Bucks win, right? Yeah,
that was like March.
After the Bucks win. Thought they were coming together.
Yeah.
Happens. Last year's last year, man. We moved on. Let's go to boy Antonio in Oakland. Antonio in Oakland.
What's up,
happening?
Antonio? What a win.
Yo, what a win. That was a playoff atmosphere. I wish Kyle Anderson would have played because he guards Luka probably, you know, damn near better than anybody in the league. And Steph was Stephen. That's why he's in the GOAT category. You know, kudos to Andrew Wiggins, man. On that last play, he was locking up Luka. Hey, man. Whew. Hey, Wiggins deserves some credit, but hey, man, Klay Thompson, yeah, man, he's done a lot for the organization, and I'm not one of those, I want the Warriors to win, but I want Klay to do great. No, I want the Warriors to win. I mean, when Jerry Rice left the Niners to the Raiders, I didn't say, I want Jerry Rice to do well. No, and he's my favorite athlete ever, and he's the GOAT. So I'm not going to be rooting for Klay. I don't dislike him, but I'm just saying, man, I'm all Warriors, and we beat another great team. So at the end of the day, we the best team in the West. I don't care what nobody say. Title contenders, 2022 vibes, all the way up, baby.
Wow, 2022, that's three straight calls for 2022 vibes. Can we make it
all
four straight?
All the way up.
Can we say four? Because you're starting to feel it. Let's go to, oh, what do you know? YouTube chat is disabled, so Tyler Miller wants to use the phone to call us.
Ooh, this is the ghost of Trey Lance.
Tyler, the floor is yours.
What's up, Tyler?
Fellas. Oh, my goodness. Bro, that was top three Warrior game all time last night, bro. Like, they set the tone from Jump Street, the Clay hats, the bro. When I saw that Chase Center was packed before tip-off, I'm like, oh, this is going to be different type. And just the fact that everyone was so conflicted because, you know, we showing love for Clay. We love Clay, everything like that. Even on his first free throw, some people were booing. But then when he made his shot, the second shot, people started cheering. So, like, it was just so much, like, confliction throughout the whole game. You got Draymond barking. You got Steph. He blacked out. I'm glad y'all played that quote because Steph didn't even hear. He said he heard Draymond, but he blacked out. So he knew what time it was as soon as he stepped in those lines, bro. Oh, my God. Like, the energy and chase was incredible last night. You couldn't ask for a better atmosphere for the NBA Cup. Bro, you got Bonte and Chris Mully. Bro, you got Bonte and Mully in the studio dancing after the game, bro, with that shit. That was Y'all was going crazy, bro.
We don't need to bring that up.
Sorry.
Hey, Tyler, we don't need to bring up the dancing, Tyler. You're doing well until the dancing part.
When you hit the NBA Cup, I couldn't stop laughing.
The Emirates NBA Cup, man. It's real.
Actually, at least the Warrior Court wasn't as bad as the game prior.
No, that was kind of normal. Yeah.
The game prior had a blue court that it just, I'm sorry, it doesn't look right.
Did you see his dancing after the end of the game?
Who?
Mully hit everybody.
Yeah, Mully's, you know, he's got the Brooklyn two-step.
And the Cameroon, they were with Klay Thompson in Cameroon. They were moving. Chloe, Daniel, and Vanessa, man, they were teaching. We were having way too much fun. We're dancing last night. That's how good we felt. Horses are rolling, man. They can do anything on TV. They start winning, start acting a fool, start saying anything on the radio. There's nothing like a vibe when the Warriors are winning. There's nothing like it here at the station.
I know when Bonte is going to be fully all in. It's December 25th.
Well, that's going to be
the day. Mid-December.
I've been all in before all you guys jumped on the train.
All in since December of 2020when you got the job.
You guys, I've been all in since 2016 when I started getting credentialed. I've been all in for a long time. I've been all in. I know a champion when I see one. And I know the real ones. We're all there. When they were winning 15 games in 2019-2020. And Raymond Ritter took note. I see who's still here. Wants to cover the team. Ain't no Johnny come latelys. I've been here, buddy.
Yeah, I was doing post games for those. Trust me. We were, remember Joe Spadoni?
Yes, I was there cutting
Eric
the audio.
Pascal.
Yes.
So people are saying that Steph Curry was saying.
Kai Bowman.
Yeah, well, trust me. I was at those games.
Before you continue. Hold on.
They're saying the camera. When Steph Curry looked into the camera, basically he said two conflicting reports. One is said that Steph was saying, you're supposed to stay here. You're supposed to stay here. And another person said, you miss it here. You miss it here. So whatever he said was directed at Klay Thompson. No doubt about it.
Well, yeah. I mean, like that Captain Obvious said, no, I agree. I don't know exactly what was said, but that felt definitely directed toward Klay Thompson. There's residue. I don't know what. I'm not trying to say they got beef, but clearly it was Adam. You can feel it, like in a video game when you win the Super Bowl and it's like, oh, you unlocked the Lombardi. And like, you know, you get that little notification on the top right. Bonte will be all the way in on a deep playoff run once he unlocks the playoff checks.
No, it's not even about the playoff checks. Who cares about that? It's just, we need basketball.
We care.
No. The playoff checks are. I care about the playoff checks, but you know what I care about?
I want my money. My money now.
No, I definitely want my money. But let me tell you something. Let me tell y'all something. For the sake of the show, we need the Warriors in the playoffs. We know what happened last season with the Warriors not in the playoffs. Had us stuck talking about Helier Ramos for two damn months and Tyler Fitzgerald and Kyle Andrew Harrison and all the Giants. And it was like, dude, what are we doing? And the ratings dipped and the chat dipped and everything. We were struggling. So I would rather be the White Sox.
Hey, listen. I wonder why.
Well, because at least there's a storyline there. At least we know they suck, and you can talk about how much they suck.
I'd rather be the Listen Hawks.
Would you rather be the Giants? Hey, we're 4 games under 500. We can't get over 500. Wait that. I'm not trying to rip the Giants because it's a new day with Buster Posey. But listen. We all missed the Warriors in the playoffs last season.
Of course we did. In more ways than one.
And it affected everybody's pockets in more ways than one. Believe that. Oh, we got a break? All right. Hey, shut up back there. I heard you loving. Yeah, I got a break. Relax. We got a break here, break there. The hell with the breaks.
Clean it up,
I could go 5 hours straight right now. More coming up on the game brought to you by San Francisco International Airport.
Bay Area, it's Draymond Green. The Morning Roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky is live on YouTube and Twitch right now. Time for you to like and subscribe.
Draymond Green, been excellent. Steph was excellent. Let's get a quick call in before Slater Shasky. Let's get somebody in here. Let's squeeze in Jonathan in Foster City. Jonathan, what's happening?
Morning, gentlemen. Perfect segue. There are Christmas morning. There's your birthday morning. Then there's the morning after a Steph game. But your comment about Dre, that block on Gap was incredible, which leads me to my question. Is there five duos in the NBA history better than Steph and Dre? You got Scottie and Mike. You got Magic and Kareem. maybe LeBron and D-Wade. But is there five duos better than Steph and Dre that you want to go take to try to win a title?
Give me those duos Steph. Again. You said Jordan and Pippen.
Shaq and Kobe.
Wade and
Magic
LeBron.
Magic and Kareem. Who else?
Well, if they win another ring, they're definitely going to have a conversation.
I mean, are we sleeping on a different duo? Are we sleeping on McHale and Bird? Or
yeah,
I don't know. I'm just asking the question.
And it's
out
a different duo. It's not a duo you think of because of the lack of scoring punch from Draymond Green. Although he has scored the basketball a lot better this year, and he's hitting the three. But as a duo, the chemistry between these two, now that Clay's gone, and then they can rack up some playoff wins here.
Are you taking prime Draymond and Steph over prime Clay and Steph?
I don't know.
I'm just asking.
Yeah, I don't know. But look, they're playing well together. Stockton Malone's another 1650.
Well, they're I was really going to go, you know, Worthy and Magic as well. Yeah, you can go.
So many different directions. I know. So many different. All right, let's get to our main man, Anthony Slater, who joins us live on the River Islands guest line, and all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover?
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you news stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Islands, River Islands, and Lathrop. Good morning to you, Slater. Always good to have you on weekly here on the Morning Rush on 95.7 The Game. And you just covered a road trip. They were 4-1, and you come back for Clay Day. The first game of the Emirates NBA Cup, and court is different, and you know the statement jerseys were out for the Golden State Warriors. You've covered a lot of regular season games. You've covered some iconic ones. Kevin Durant going back to OKC. You've covered great playoff games. Where's that regular season game rank for you with everything considered? The Klay Thompson return, Steph and Dre saying what they were saying, Steve Kerr talking about it, no pregame tribute from Steph Curry before the game. Where's that regular season game rank for you, Slates?
What's up there? I would say as I age into my, into the 2040s and 50s, I'll probably remember Durant in Oklahoma City more as a just like shocking event to go to. Mm-hmm. That was festive, celebratory. I don't know the venom of the Oklahoma City return for some reason. I don't know. Maybe that's just how we as humans like remember things. But that was just like a more shocking night. It wasn't even a very good game, by the way. The Warriors blew them out.
Yep.
And then remember Draymond and Steph are wearing the cupcake shirts post game. And I don't know. There was just a lot to that one. But yeah, no, it was up there. Also, on your lead-in question, how about you guys didn't mention prime Kevin Durant and prime Steph Curry. That was a pretty good duo.
Yeah, that was a hell of a duo. They don't get the love in that 3-year sample size that we got there. They were dynamic.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know. It was – I will say this about last night. I came into it, like, slightly skeptical about how the Sailor hats will work. I was wondering how Clay was going to receive a lot of it because, I've written about plenty of, like, kind of the bitterness of the end, and he was – pretty clear in the lead up, like how much he wasn't necessarily, searching for some like super celebratory night, but it clearly landed well with him. And having been in the arena, like I thought the aesthetics of the hats were good. All the fans wore them. I mean, they treated him like very well throughout. Maybe you had one little faint airball chant, but that was about it. I thought it went well, really.
Well, let's go to the end and we can dissect everything in between, but let's go straight to the end. Watching Steph react the way that he did and then just the intensity of the entire day and the game and how guys were playing, that felt very, very personal to me. It felt like there was a lot of residue in lots of different directions. What was your interpretation of the end of that game with Steph Curry reacting the way he did?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's number one, a reminder of like what has made these guys champions, and Klay is included in that. And, you know, Draymond's outward competitiveness is very obvious to everyone. But Steph has that inner fire that Kobe Bryant, right back in the day, remember the Kobe Bryant interview where he kind of identified it early? And you see it in him and you see it in Klay. And that's, they're going to rise on nights like this. And, you know, I don't think there's necessarily like personal turmoil at the heart of it, but like, you know, like Steph knows the stage, Steph knows the moment. Steph, I think, wanted, you know, he's not only just making a statement to Klay, but I think he's making a statement to the league that, you know, this, I mean, what we spent all summer talking about, you know, Klay's departure was a signal that like the dynasty was truly dead. And he knows that, look, they're 9-2, and they just had kind of maybe the statement win of the NBA season, certainly the statement stretch, winning in Boston, in Oklahoma City, then coming home and punctuating this on a night like that. He was letting the world know. And that's Steph. I mean, look, he did it. He's, I will say, he's getting a little bit more ferocious in his celebrations. It used to be a little bit more fun. Now it's like, he was like kind of screaming at the camera. That was interesting.
Yeah, no, that was very interesting there. And then we get to Draymond Green, because the first possession of the game, Draymond's trying to help on a Steph. Klay draws a foul on Steph, as he says, he blacked out there. And then Draymond hits a three, he's talking to Klay. And I don't know if you noticed Jason Kidd when he called his first timeout in the first quarter.
Oh,
Draymond's barking at Jason Kidd. So I'm thinking, oh, Draymond's got the intensity tonight. He's had it all season long. There's no doubt. No turnovers last night. 11 points. Again, he's hitting two threes, and they're 139-30 all time when he hits at least two threes in the game, Slater. Draymond Green and where he's at right now, he's in a great space, it feels like. And you've covered the road trip. Can you speak about where Draymond Green is at right now as a player on and off the court?
I mean, he's in a great mood on like almost a, you know, a very regular basis, but like pregame, postgame, locker room, post practice, all that. He's in a very like appreciative mood. He's talked about like, you know, trying to enjoy, you know, like the ups and downs of a season much more clearly than last year, obviously. I mean, there was just so much that went into it. He's been very chatty, but what was interesting is like, you know, I was kind of trying to talk to him on the road trip maybe about like, you know, kind of a, you know, as I was doing that big Klay story that I already put out, and he didn't really want to talk about that. And then I thought what was interesting, I mean, he ignored a question in a press conference about like kind of the Klay return. And then he mentioned yesterday post game, he asked for the tribute video early, watched it, kind of got it out of the way, because it was clear he wanted to go into the game like with no type of sentimentality, with no type of nostalgia. He wanted to go in with like that killer mentality. And I mean, you saw it early. He hits the corner three over Klay and yells at him. You mentioned the Jason Kidd one. He's just, I don't know. I mean, again, we're 11 games in. I don't want to talk about like postseason awards, but he is kind of like defensive player of the year version of Draymond so far this season. And like, that's massive. I mean, we could talk about so many reasons why this team is 9-2 and why this team right now is reminding us of the 2022 one, and part of it is Draymond is looking like a top three defensive player in the league.
Yeah, he's been brilliant, absolutely brilliant. I love their closing lineup. Melton, Kuminga, obviously Draymond Green, Andrew Wiggins, who I thought was way better than the box score indicates, and Steph Curry. What was your breakdown of the final five, if you will?
Yeah, you know, I think they're in an interesting place because, you know, a lot of that is unlocked by Draymond at the five, right? That's always been the key to allowing them to play Wiggins and Kuminga together. Because they can't do that also with the center. And I think we all know in the tensest moments of this season and in the biggest games against the best, most athletic teams, they're going to have to go to Draymond at five. But they don't want to start that way, mostly, I mean, I would say for strategic reasons, but also because Draymond doesn't want to start that way. He's made that clear. He wants a center out there protecting him, whether it's Looney or Trayce Jackson-Davis. But once again, we're just reminded, like, this is what you have to go to when you have to win a game, when you have to get, you know, a five-possession, you know, two-way lineup out there. And I think Kuminga's been excellent lately, and you have to praise his professionalism for, you know, absorbing the bench role, taking it, and you know, then having his best stretch, like much better than when he was starting early in the year. And if he's that type of active player both ways, where at this point I would say he's probably their second best like isolation type scorer behind Steph, then, you know, you do have a lot of like kind of fun lineup options. I do think there's going to be stretches where Pajemski's going to play better, and maybe he's in that Melton role. But yeah, and then the other thing, you mentioned D'Anthony Melton, like, you know, you worry about his back and the way it's flared up in his history, but he's played the last two games against the Thunder and Mavericks, like, really impressively, and like he adds an element of two-way basketball. They kind of needed that position.
Talking to Anthony Slater, our 95.7 Game Insider, does a great job for The Athletic. He's here on the River Islands guest line, and he joins us every single week to talk some Warriors basketball here on a Warriors Wednesday. And Slater, you bring up De'Anthony Melton's back. Should we be concerned about Andrew Wiggins' back? Because you look at the box scores, people are going to look at the box score and say, well, yeah, Wiggins didn't have a really good game. I thought he was very impactful yesterday. He battled defensively, trying to guard Luka Doncic, and I think he's put together a good stretch since he's come back from the back injury. But is that a concern moving forward here? Because it seems like it keeps popping up on the injury report.
Yeah, he missed two games because of it. I don't know. I mean, look, he's got the back pad on, you know, during when he's resting. I see it sometimes. He was wearing that, like, padded thing in the locker room. So it's clearly something that's, like, bothering him now. Where I worry about it less than even Draymond or De'Anthony Melton's is there's not a long history of, like, a, you know, serious type back issues that, you know, sidelined him for a long time. I just think it's natural getting older, you know, playing the way he does. So I don't know. At this point, no, I wouldn't ring the alarm bells. I just think it's right, something that just tightens up a little bit. But, you know, you mentioned it. I thought he was really good on Luka last night, and that's what they need, the way he's been playing defense. At this point, he's probably defended Luka better than really anybody in the league, you know, consistently.
Yep, no, you're so right about that. He's playing well. Had a good game in OKC Sunday, Shasky, 16-8-5. Love where Andrew Wiggins is at.
Yeah, I do too. And obviously they've got to thread the needle on Melton simultaneously. Yeah. It feels like they're juggling a lot of plates here, right? Like you're trying your best to get everyone acclimated, and you need them playing good ball. And so you're reincorporating Melton into the equation and trying not to, obviously, get him injured, you know, because the back is very, very tricky. And then you've got Moody and Pajemski, and man, they're not playing as well, but you still want to give them run. Just the guard situation that they have going on right now, GP2, and how do you think it plays out over the next couple of weeks?
Similarly to how it's playing out right now, which is like, you know, if as long as he goes and he seems willing to go to this like 11-man, sometimes 12-man first half rotation, you can just decide who's playing well on any given night. And, you know, I think if there's going to be a night soon, I'm sure Moody comes out and hits three threes. And, you know those nights where you're like, ooh, Moody's really got it tonight. Extend his minutes to 24. Maybe, you know, Melton slips into the background on that type of night. We all know there's going to be nights where Pajemski comes out, takes a charge, hits a three, you know, dives on the floor, you know, stomps the floor after doing it. And then, you know, Steve will probably be over there like, he's playing 32 minutes tonight. You know, he's played 5 minutes and his plus minus is 9. Keep going with him. I mean, that's just how it works with him. I do think with Pajemski, breaks his nose on the last game of preseason. I think I know the mask bothered him because he was hopeful it wouldn't. And then talking to him at the end, even the other night in Oklahoma City, he was really happy to get it off. I don't know if y'all mentioned no mask last night.
Yeah.
But also he got sick recently. He like, well, you remember he left the BC game? He was like busy, just called himself out of the game, then missed the next game. I just think he's in a little bit of a funk right now, but that's the specialty of this team. You know, he can either miss time or not play that well, and then you can just limit his minutes and, you know, go to next man up. I mean, we didn't even mention the name Lindy Waters last time I was on with y'all. He was like the story, you know. He was a huge story.
Shaskin's ready to put up in the All-Star game.
No, I wasn't. Now,
he's sitting as a 13th man, but, like, right. I know how y'all feel. Like, if suddenly Lindy Waters is in the game for 20 minutes, y'all are not, like, oh, you know, worried.
No.
You're not panicking. Yeah. Not panicking.
He's actually bringing the ball up the floor every now and then when he gets in there. He's fine.
Hit a little bit of a rut. When you bring up Pajemski in his shot, and it could be mass-related, so that's why I'm not going to harp on Pajemski's lack of three-point shooting at the moment. He's 8 of 49 on the season here, Slates. But do you get a sense that maybe he's trying to do too much and trying to prove himself all over again?
Yeah, I mean, that's just kind of him, you know. Yeah. He had that moment last night. He kind of missed. I think he was going against Gafford. Missed. They had a putback, and they were going to timeout, and he was just, like, getting on the ref about it. And to me, those are moments where you can tell, you know, somebody's really kind of worried about and how they're playing. Because it's like, you know, you got a loony tip in. You guys are winning. I think the Mavs just had to call timeout. Like, don't need to get, you know, get after the ref. But, I mean, we talked about it even going back to the offseason. Like, this was going to be a lot of pressure on him heading into year two regardless. He puts a lot of pressure on himself. But also, obviously, everyone knows, like, you know, the trade talks that the Warriors were engaged with all summer. And they're, you know, external and internal view of Brandon Pajemski and the fact Joe Lacob goes on a summer league broadcast and says future all-star. You know, future all-stars don't average, or all-stars, I should say, don't average, you know, 10, 12 points a game. And I think there's a little bit, you know, buried on a team with depth. I do think he's trying to show his scoring ability. He had, I would say he did have that one really big game in Houston, big closing stretch, I should say, where they don't win that game if he doesn't have those three massive, like, you know, late in regulation buckets. And I think that's in some ways who I think he envisions himself to be years from now, a few years from now. But, you know, that's a long developmental process ahead.
Look, I'm trying to think about what, like, what is separating this team from last year? And there's so much on court that we love. We've been talking about the double teams and the spacing on offense, or their ability to just have more activity on both ends of the floor. I'm looking at some of the wins that they've had, and I know some of the teams haven't been at full strength. OKC losing Chet early in that game. Boston not having Jaylen Brown. Like, those things do matter. But they've beaten now a lot of what I consider to be elite to really good teams in the NBA in a short stretch here. What more do you need to see from these Warriors to believe that this is pretty real? Like, I know it's a long year, you know, Anthony, but, like, I feel like I'm seeing more early on from this team than at any point last year from the Warriors.
Yeah, you know, and it's interesting. I was talking to a few players last night, and then we were kind of in agreement that, like, they could have played this 11-game stretch last year and generally played it, you know, relatively similarly from, like, a competitive standpoint in a lot of these games, but, like, they'd probably be, like, 6-5 instead of 9-2 because you don't win the Houston game after you blow that lead. You know, you don't, you know, I don't think you necessarily come back from 7 down last night. Like, they were kicking those games away last year. The Boston, remember, what did they go down in the fourth quarter in Boston? I remember that night thinking, I think they went down 4.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, like, well, you know, this is a positive night. I thought they were going to lose, and I thought we were all going to come out of it. Like, man, you know, they gave Boston a nice run in Boston, and then they come out and win it. Now, I think one of the most under-discussed aspects of them being in true contention is, like, a real conversation about, like, is Steph Curry a third-team All-NBA player or a first-team All-NBA player? Like, what's it's at his advanced age in his career, is he still a top-three type player, an MVP candidate? Because if he's not, if he's in some ways what he was last year, right, which was, well, I think he finished third team All NBA. Mm-hmm. Like, that is the difference between championship contention and, like, second round, basically. And I will say the last three wins, after they proved themselves without Steph Curry, right, they go 3-0 with him out. But the last three wins, he dragged them to the finish line in Boston. He was incredible in Oklahoma City when it felt like everything was kind of melting down in the fourth quarter. He just took over. And then obviously last night, I mean, he has the 12-0 run, 10-0 run, whatever it was, to pull them across the finish line. And if they have the depth and the vibes and, like, you know, all the versatile lineups, and then they also have that Steph Curry who against the elite teams can just kind of bump them past Luka, past Jason Tatum, past Shea in Oklahoma City, like, that's when you're a title contender, because that's when you have the structure around the A1 superstar, and he, at least in the last three wins, has proved he's still at that level, and that's huge.
Yeah, no, it is. You know, Slater, we saw a stat yesterday on Stat Mamba that at the age of 36, only three players have scored 36-plus points in back-to-back nights: LeBron James, Michael Jeffrey Jordan, Stephen Curry. So he's still playing. Like, it's just crazy how he just keeps forcing himself into these conversations with all-time greats. Before we let you go, just one last on the Dallas Mavericks. They're 5-6 now. They lost to Phoenix last week, 114-113. Lost to Denver on Sunday, 122-120. They're not playing well, but they're not healthy and whole. They do look like a problem, though, come playoff time, right, Anthony? Because they have all the components for a playoff series. And I just feel like they're going to be a tough out in the Western Conference playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, you saw it last year, you know. They kind of, like, bumbled their way. They were playing range. I remember going to a game in Oklahoma City – or in Sacramento in March. And they and the Kings were, like, on the fringe of the play-in, and you didn't know with, you know, whoever won that game, I think, was going to take over the sixth seed. And then by the time I was, you know, fast forward 2 months, I'm in Dallas watching them beat the Thunder to go to the West Finals. And obviously they go to the NBA Finals from there. It's just, you know, Luka, it's interesting watching Luka last night because you're like, you know, is he still not in that great of shape? He's kind of whining at the refs all games. Like, all the stuff that you worry about with Luka is still there, but you're also like, man, he kind of dominated half the game, right? Like, you
it's
know.
Amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah, the way he just, like, succeeds is incredible. And then, you know, Kyrie, was not overly, you know, he wasn't like some super influential factor last night, but we all know what he can be in the playoff series. And then I do worry about them defensively with Kyrie, Luka, and Klay having to, you know, be in some of their crunch time lineups altogether. But yeah, I mean, they have playoff killers on their team, and then I like their center combination.
Yep.
Lively was incredible last year in that series I covered against Chet Holmgren and the Thunder. Like, I know he's kind of built for that moment. Gafford helps. You didn't see PJ Washington last night. I like Najee Marshall as like a playoff rotation piece. Yes. Not only are they going to be a factor in the West playoffs, I would love to see a Warriors Mavericks playoff series.
Oh, that's the first thing I thought of. It's like, we got 7 games of that. Oh my Lord. It's
hey, how about game 6 Klay in Chase set?
Oh my God. Oh my God. Can you imagine that? Warrior fans freaking out. Dallas coming into town with a 3-2 lead. Oh, we could dream. We're only in November, but I like where your mind is at, Anthony. I like where your head's at when it comes to the Warriors and the Mavericks and what could happen out here in the Western Conference slates. Always good stuff. I'll see you Friday night at Chase. Keep up the great work as always.
All right, fellas.
Anytime. Anthony Slater here on the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game. I think he's going to Kings Suns today. The Suns are in Sacramento to take on the Sacramento Kings. So he's going to do some double duty there. Our 95.7 The Game insider.
Given what he was saying there, it's 2-1-1-1-1, right? For or 2-2-1-1-1-1, right? For game sevens in.
Oh, yeah. It's 2-2-1-1-1.
If the Warriors finish with a lower seed, then they would have that home game on a game 6 of a 7-game series. So,
would you imagine a drama?
No.
If
no,
it was 3-2, Dallas and Clay's coming back to Chase Center's game 6, Klay, that would be unbelievable. That would be insane.
Oh, my God.
Insane. Last night was insane. I'm on a high right now, man. And look, we should be talking some Niners and getting ready for the Seattle Seahawks and those frauds, the 12s and all that. I don't even think we've asked to book a Seattle guest this week because the Warriors are rolling so much.
Yeah, I don't really want to hear from Softy Mahler. Yeah, I know it's the go-to on a lot of shows. It's like, I don't need to hear from him.
Well,
we know. Gino's your quarterback.
Well, it's actually Dick Fed who we've had on because you and Softy don't really. Let's just move on.
I'm not going to sugarcoat it.
There's talk about beef. Talk about beef.
And the guy's Oscar
Stockton. Oscar and Stockton, what's happening?
What's going on, fellas? How you guys doing this
month? I'm doing great. Hey, Oscar, lovely. Man. I'm on cloud 9, man.
Hey, I seen you last night dancing. I'm on cloud 9 with you, man.
Sorry, man. Those camera. Hey, they can dance, man. I wasn't trying to dance, but you know, you get lost in the sauce sometimes.
Hey, you and Mully. That's how the Warriors do, man. I tell my brother, everybody knows. Without Steph Curry, the ratings are down. Steph brings joy. And the way how the Warriors play, and my whole thing, I always get on the Warriors fans, but that's how we respond. When you do something, we will cheer. And the Warriors, hey, man, Klay is my boy. But like I told my brother and my wife, like, why are you doing that? I said, yeah, Klay, but Klay fans are Dallas now. I'm a Warrior. And Steph Curry, let them know that. And Draymond Green, oh, my man. Hey, if Dray keep playing like that, and our defense keep playing like that, and with our new coaches, I always harped on that last year. The new coaches, man, is really helping Steve Kerr out. And I hate when Barkley talking about we can't play 10. You know what? Stop listening to everybody else. We do what we do. If Steve Kerr played 10 and 11, that's what we're going to do. And everybody's going to follow our blueprint. And like the league already did. All the rules they applied is for the Warriors. But guess what? We got a good ownership and a good coach. We're going to go a step above that. And, hey, Klay, I'm sorry you left, but you chose to leave and go with Kyrie, just like Durant did. That's why Steph was saying that. And you know what? I'm a Steph and a Golden State Warriors fan to I die. Go Warriors, baby.
Hey, man, good call.
I think it's pretty obvious everybody involved needed a little, you know, something new. Warriors, players, you know, Clay, everything. And I'm sure that there's some level of, I wouldn't say bad blood, but, you know, residuals. But where does it go from here? I know today's not the day to kind of think about that.
In terms of what? Like, their relationships?
The next time they play.
Oh, it's going to be even more heated. There's going to be more trash talk. And it's going to be, hey, we're trying to kick your ass because you know, or we know, you could be in our way in the Western Conference playoffs. The league's on notice now. The league has noticed that, oh, wow, the Warriors are 9-2. Oh, damn, Steph's back-to-back games, 36. Oh, wow, look at Draymond Green. Buddy Hield, what? Jonathan Kaminga's coming off the bench. And wait, Andrew Wiggins is playing on both sides of the floor hard. And, oh, there's Loondog. There's Loondog crashing the offensive glass. Got to get him on the scouting report and box him out because he's going to come off the bench and grab 11 rebounds. The league is on notice when it comes to the Golden State Warriors now. And there's going to be a counter to what the Warriors are doing. But they know Steph playing at this level after what just happened to the Olympics, and he's a cold-blooded killer. It's going to be problematic.
When's the next Maverick game?
I don't know. Let me pull that. I shouldn't know that.
Yeah,
I was lost in the sauce.
Because that's what I meant. Where?
But no, where it's going to go with them, it, Dallas knows we run the West. We won the West last year.
Yeah, but it's
not his team out here in the Bay Area is trying to come get it. Dallas knows. Let's see. They next play. Wow, they don't play for a long time.
Wow. So
don't play for it. So they play
the 23rd of February is the next time.
Wow, that long.
No, February 12th. And then the 23rd. So they play February 12th on a Wednesday night here in the Bay Area. And then they play February 23rd on a Sunday afternoon on ABC.
Well, well played by the NBA to wait till a Tuesday and not have any other real sports competing against it to showcase that game on TNT. I thought that was brilliant strategy. I'm sure the ratings were sky high.
They had to be. They had to be. Yeah, two more matchups against the Dallas Mavericks, one here in the Bay Area, and then they go down to Dallas February 23rd. So there will be friction. There will be. Because Draymond Green, listen to what he had to say. Let's hear from Draymond on the emotion he saw from Steph Curry.
I knew he'd come in ready to go, which is very evident by that first foul. He just wanted to take the ball from Clay so bad. But when you see him express that type of emotion, everybody else just fall in line. I try to lead in that category. But when he's up, I move to the side, let him do his thing, and be in support. But he was absolutely incredible tonight, and you know, I knew he'd be locked in from the gate.
Now, what about handling the emotions of last night?
Excited to play against him. We know how competitive of a player Clay is, but we dealt with the emotions. We dealt with the emotions before the game. You know, we've dealt with the emotions months ago. I watched the video earlier because I didn't want to be the first time I see the video out here. So I watched that video earlier this morning after I shot. We didn't want to come in with feelings. This is a professional basketball game. We're playing for something, and we wanted to win. We love Clay Thompson, but he's not with us no more. So happy to see him celebrated the way he should be celebrated, but we were here to win a basketball game.
And that's what it is. We got to handle our business here. Clay, great. We got to clap the hats, got your cheers, all that stuff. We love you. Those banners don't get hung without you. But it's 2024, and you're playing with Dallas. And when 2025 comes around, we're going to be in a position to be a top seed in the Western Conference. And we're going to have to go through you guys at some point. So the message was sent by the Golden State Warriors, and the message was sent by the leaders of the team, Draymond Green and Stephen Curry. We don't care about that stuff anymore. We're over the emotions. Now let's play ball. You left us. No matter what happened, you left us. It is what it is. And it's golden. It's we're on a mission now, man. That's what it is right now, Shasky. They're on a freaking mission.
He'll never admit this, I'm sure, because he's way too classy. And this is my personal interpretation. I'm recklessly speculating here, okay?
Don't recklessly speculate.
It felt like that was a message to Clay at the end there. That was the way I interpreted it. I can't be alone in that. Other people had to have felt it that way.
Of course.
And again, I'm not saying he hates him. I'm not even going down that road. I'm just saying, like, it felt like a message to him. Like, all right, you know, I'm still here. It was crazy. I didn't expect that from Steph.
Hey, Steve Kerr, did Curry have a little extra jolt in his gameplay, or in his game, I should say?
Yeah, for sure. You know, and he was matched up
against him defensively. You know, we did our pregame scout and we went through the matchups, and it's almost surreal saying, all right, Steph, you got Clay. I mean, just, and Steph smiled as soon as he saw the matchups. I looked over at him and he smiled, kind of shook his head like, this is weird, you know. So it was a strange night in that regard, but ultimately, you know, it was a great night. You know, Clay hit some big shots and, you know, 22 points and made his mark on the game, and obviously we were thrilled to come away with the win, and then to see the emotion and the...
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.